a change. You may get disgusted.
Welcome back. We might be a day late, but we're still here. May 17th, season
the internet
2, episode 46.
The internet didn't want us to be here, but we powered through.
Yeah, I could go on a 45-minute long rant about how much I hate Comcast, but we'll just suffice it to say that it's their fault. It's always their fault. They, for whatever reason, cannot seem to get an internet signal out to us, and it always causes problems. And I have told my parents every time, just pay less on the internet bill because they're not even providing the service. Why should you pay?
But fastest in-home Wi-Fi, though, man.
When it gets there, maybe. I don't know. I haven't been able to test it. I rarely, if ever, get internet.
Yeah, we hate Comcast so much in my apartment. We searched out the only other provider and just got it without even checking how good it was.
I love that.
It's been fine. It's been fine. For some reason, we have two Wi-Fi networks, but it's fine.
That's all right. That's all you need. As long as it works, who cares?
It's been working fine.
So yeah, we're a little off track already, but biggest news coming of the week is the Supreme Court overruled PASPA, which essentially made sports gambling illegal outside of the state of Nevada. For better or worse, that's my understanding of it. But really, it's just that the whole sports gambling thing was illegal in the U.S. And now they overturned it, so it's no longer there. Sports gambling is legal. However, Congress had a chance back in the day to rule on it, so they could have made it a federal thing and kind of taxed and done whatever with that. They decided against it at that point, which is a permanent thing. They can't go back and change their mind. So now it is up to each and every state, New Jersey being the first and foremost of them. They were the one who brought the suit about and got it overturned. So within about the next week or two, there should be sports betting in New Jersey. It'll be most likely at like Monmouth Park Racetrack or down in Atlantic City, but they're going to have legalized sports gambling in New Jersey by the end of the month, essentially.
That's incredible. And you know, I kind of like the state by state law because I've read up that in Australia, especially because it's nationally legal, the national broadcasts for sports are just overrun with gambling ads, and like
I'm sure
the entire broadcast is just centered around gambling. And if correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a state like if a few states that a professional league has a team in still has it outlawed, they won't be able to provide gambling ads on national broadcasts. So I guess it spares us from being just having ads shoved down our throats.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's going to get a little more European in the way that sports run. If you've ever watched a Premier League soccer game, you'll notice that probably 5 to 7 of the teams are headline sponsored by gambling sites. Like that's how it works. That's what the norm is. They are sponsors. They pay money to get on shirts and in turn get people to gamble on their site. We might see a little more of that, but I think like you're saying that advertisers, it's going to open up a whole new door for advertisers and advertiser dollars in terms of that. I've already seen for Illinois, I've seen one website that's advertising that they're about to get up and running. They're just waiting on the state legislature to make their decision, and then they'll be up and good to go with, you know, weekly contests and things like that. And that's called Bet Chicago. They have billboards already. Like, it's crazy how quickly things are moving.
Jesus. And I'm all for having some competition for Bovada and my bookies. It, like, user interface, it's shit.
Right. Yeah.
And it's basically the only thing that's kept me from online gambling at this point. Now I'm kind of scared that it's going to be too easy for me.
That's the thing. A lot of people are saying that they think it's going to turn some people off because it's going to be so mainstream now and everyone's just going to be talking about how they do it and do it normally. I don't think that's the case. I think the biggest problem could be the tax dollars and it just not working out, because I've been reading up about Illinois and I hear that they want to put a 12.5% tax on all gambled money in the state, which would they assume would bring in about $100 million, which is kind of peanuts compared to the deficit they face, but something's better than nothing. But there's also, they want to add like a 1% tax to give to the leagues to help study how it affects the games or if there's any effect on the games. And there's a bunch of talk that by doing that, it sets a dangerous precedent that the leagues are going to have to get involved with this and all sorts of shit. But it's definitely something interesting, especially if you like the business side of sports, to keep an eye on. But the good news for people like me is that gambling is going to be a lot easier.
Yeah, and I feel like
that's bad news.
Good or bad news, however you want to interpret it. But for people like us, one studying the business of sports, it's a pretty interesting case study.
For sure. So
I have a quick idea here. Yeah. So how far can this go? I feel like this is an opportunity for like a really obscure sports league to go just advertise and go heavy on gambling and make like absurd, advertise the absurd bets you could make on like alpaca racing.
I think esports is the place where it's going to grow like crazy because you're starting to see like 2K already has their own league. I'm sure that the NFL's got to be close behind. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of hockey league coming up. FIFA may even do something in the US. I know they do like single player tournaments, but I think esports is where it's going to blow up because there's such a huge interest in it already. Why wouldn't betting on it be a thing as well?
And I would love being able to bet on like online games, like dudes on Twitch just playing games.
Yeah. I mean, there's no saying that won't happen.
If you can get to talk shit to the person directly, if he loses you a bet, it's perfect.
Yeah. That's actually not a bad idea. But let's, there's tons of stuff that's going to be coming out about this in the coming weeks, months, years, even.
Well, can this go, how far down can this go? Can we start putting bets down at Little League games? Like, can dads start getting pissed off at their own?
Yeah. So that's the level that they were talking about. They're saying professional, collegiate, and amateur, which is funny that they separated college and amateur, but I don't know how far it's going to go.
They said amateur is legal now?
No, potentially.
Okay.
But it's just weird. It'll be interesting to see where they decide to go and how they decide to go about it. Because like we were saying, each state has the right to do it as they please. So there's no saying Indiana won't have high school basketball gambling because they love high school basketball. Or Texas won't have high school football or things like that. You never know. I'd assume it wouldn't happen, but there have been crazier things.
I wouldn't put it past Texas football to have gambling on it. That's the biggest thing in the state.
Yeah, and disclaimer, this is from my brief understanding of what's going on. So it may be wrong, but that's what I've been reading. I feel like it's saying that each state has the right to do it as they please.
Yeah, I feel like, again, loose understanding of the ruling.
Yeah.
But I feel like knowing how laws are brought down, the language is probably ambiguous enough where a state could argue that it's legal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and just a slippery slope.
There's a lot of documents I have to file through still. I just haven't gotten my under my fingers, haven't figured it out yet. But that's the gist of the sports betting. I think we're both for it. I think it's going to be an interesting change and a welcome change in the world.
Yeah, it's going to be like a serious swing in American sports.
Mm-hmm. We will move on to the NHL playoffs. Washington, Caps year, although they just got shit pumped at home, it is still a 2-1 series. They say the series doesn't start until the road team wins a game. Well, Washington won two road games, and Tampa Bay has won one. If the Lightning can squeak out a win in game four, that's got to be it for Washington, right? They're dead.
Well, they say lightning never strikes twice, right?
Ooh, what's good point. Good point. Yeah, that is. So you're gonna take Caps?
Yeah, I got Caps. I got Caps game four for sure.
Yeah, I think. I mean, it's home ice, so it's got to mean something. I think Washington figures it out. There are a lot of cheap goals, I'll say, were given up by Holtby, but. That's playoff hockey. As long as it gets past the line and goes in the net, you're getting goals.
And you know what? Like, there's a thing about hockey where the score often does not reflect the actual flow of the game. Like a two minute stretch could have resulted in three goals, and then the rest they could have played even, or the other team could have beaten them out. So,
yeah, I mean, there could be a stretch where a team scores four goals in the first like 6 minutes of the game and wins 4-3, and you're like, oh wow, that was a close game, but really it was domination in the first part and then domination in another part of the game.
Yeah, so I have faith the Caps will make it 3-1.
All right, and then Vegas and Winnipeg playing tonight as we record. Game three, it is in Las Vegas. 1-1 is the series. Pretty physical. Winnipeg is a significantly larger team than Vegas. Vegas got pumped in game one and then came back and dominated game two. It's speed versus physicality, which in the past is essentially what the Blackhawks and Ducks were. The Hawks had the speed. The Ducks were the physical team, and pretty much every time the Hawks won that battle. Vegas is a little different story. The Jets have been playing really well. Their forwards have been playing really well. Buffalo's been incredible, and Hellebuck has been wildly good. So I think this one goes the full seven, and I think it's Winnipeg that ends up winning it, and Canada gets their team back in a Stanley Cup for the first time in God knows how long. But this will be an interesting series. I think it's more interesting than the Washington-Tampa Bay one.
Yeah, I mean, even Charles Barkley is talking about like wanting to go to a game and watch this. So, I mean, it's got to be wildly entertaining.
That's what Chuck does every year now, though. He shits on the NBA and says like the games are boring and that he's more into the hockey playoffs.
And that's why NBA and TNT is the best show on television.
That is correct. Because they just don't care. They really don't.
And this is off topic, but it's such a stark contrast. I watched the broadcast on ESPN yesterday with Michelle Beadle, Jalen Rose, and Chauncey have absolutely chemistry. My God, yeah, chemistry. Zero chemistry, just absolute robots, but I digress.
Yeah, when you got Shaq yelling at Chuck to Google him, you know, it's not your average show talking about the NBA. When Ernie's got to physically grab them to get them to talk about the Golden State Warriors, you know it's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good show when they have to be like reeled back in to talk about what they're being paid to talk about.
Physically reeled in, though. even jokingly, like they'll get up and he'll have to like pull them down. But that's actually the perfect segue to the NBA playoffs, where LeBron trails 2-0. I say LeBron because it is just him and Kevin Love essentially playing the Celtics. It's Brad Stevens, the puppet master, just putting his pieces in the perfect places to succeed. And then LeBron having to play out of his mind with Kevin Love sometimes helping him out and no one else doing anything.
Yeah, and having JR as a complete liability on both ends of the court. There we saw the fuck you JR chant going on last night.
Yep.
After he shoved Al Horford in the back in midair, which is the cheapest shot I've ever seen.
That's an automatic fight, I think, in every level of basketball from like grade school all the way up to professional. If you push a guy in midair, that's a fight every time.
Who would you have taken, JR versus Marcus Smart?
Marcus Smart. He tried to fight a fan.
And like you saw the Windhorst little blurb on JR that he likes to pretend to be the tough guy, but he just grew up in like a two-parent home in the suburbs.
Yep. JR doesn't – he's never seemed like a fighter. I think it's a lot of like a facade or like people reading a book by its cover. Like he's got all the tattoos and shit and they think, oh, he's a tough guy. He just likes to hang out and party. That's all he really likes to do.
He's a piper, not a fighter.
Yep.
But, the Celtics are just – Brad Stevens is putting everyone in position to succeed. I think Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are the first two – like the first under 21 duo to combine for how many – I have the stat pull up here, yeah. To each score 200 points in a postseason, which is insane. Jason Tatum is having a like absolutely historic playoff – run for like He's the youngest player ever to score 250 career points in the playoffs. The list just goes on and on with these young guys just being in place to succeed. And I'm starting
without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward.
Yeah. And I'm starting to see the seeds of LeBron giving up on this team.
Oh, yeah. I think if you're LeBron, it's over. Give up. Pack your bags. Head to Philly. Just get there early. You know you're going there. You and Kawhi are going to bring the city of brotherly love a title or two, maybe five. But call it quits. I think the most astounding thing to me is how badly LeBron's hair looks. And they continuously, or he keeps putting himself in these scenarios where the camera can get a picture, like a view of the top of his head.
Who has worse hair, Kevin Durant or LeBron? Because Kevin, like, it's not balding per se, but it's
LeBron, because he refuses to give up on it.
Yeah, I feel like he.
I was watching some old LeBron highlights, and you could see the headband in like the middle of his head. Back when he was balding, and he was like kind of accepting it, and now it's all the way. His hairline is all the way back.
He needs to go bald, bring back the headband, and it wouldn't be a terrible look.
He needs to do I mean, he's got the long beard. If you go bald with the long beard, it's a great look.
True, but I do hate his beard though. It sticks out too far.
He'll have to just groom it a little bit, but. That is a better look than the, like, essentially the Carlos Boozer painted on your head hair.
That'll come around later for our top five.
Oh, but, yeah.
But if we're just comparing MJ and LeBron, MJ before he shaved his head, far worse than LeBron.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, both have shitty hair. I don't think it's a coincidence.
89 Jordan had the worst hair I think I've ever seen.
God. The, tweet yesterday of Chicago hasn't seen a pair of Clippers since 89 with the picture of Jordan. Oh my God.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, that was too good.
But yeah, I think the Cavs need to throw in like any option they have. Like Shetty Osman, I think she gets some minutes.
Kendrick Perkins still on the roster?
He has just been in a suit the entire time. He's there to intimidate on the bench and talk to the famous fans on the sidelines.
He should get a couple minutes here and there.
I'm all for it. He can knock some sense into Marcus Smart.
Yeah. It's a physical series. Why not use a couple of his fouls?
God, I can't even imagine how badly he would get exposed.
Yeah, it would be a bad look for him, but at the end of the day, he's going to end up like horse collaring somebody.
Yeah, then he's done. He gets kicked out. He did his job.
Oh, well. That's
what's your prediction for this series, Brian? Celtics in...
I'm going to go gentleman sweep. Celtics in five.
Woo!
I think LeBron wins game three, and then they get housed in game four and five. Or game four, and then LeBron gives up in game five.
I think it's Celtics in six. I think role players will step up for at least one of the home games, and then LeBron will will them to another win in Boston, and then eventually lose.
All right. And we both agree it's the Celtics, at least, which I think might be the first time this playoffs we've agreed.
I've picked against LeBron now two series in a row. He proved me wrong once, but this is not the Raptors.
Yeah. I mean, how bad of a look is this for the Raptors? The Kyrie and Gordon Hayward-less Celtics are just tearing apart the Cavaliers, who absolutely dismantled Toronto.
Yeah, and it demonstrates the stark contrast in game planning ability between Stevens and Dwayne Casey, and was ultimately why Casey got canned, because the guy is great at dealing with personalities and empowering guys to play well, but when it comes to in-game adjustments, he just didn't get the job done. And it just cost him his job.
Yeah.
But I'm also starting to see there are quotes coming out now. I think next year is going to be in full force that Brad Stevens is overrated. Because there you don't see players getting nearly as much credit. Like Scalabrine had a quote yesterday that's saying, he was saying, I feel like it's a little demeaning when people don't give credit to the players. As good of a coach as Brad is,
yeah,
I think it's a little disrespectful to the players when they win. All credit goes to Brad. And I've seen a few of those quotes from a few people around the league. And it might become a thing next year.
I think it's strictly because they don't have a star player. Like, there is no star on this team right now. And without a star, you can't say, because usually 9 times out of 10 in the NBA, it's a team rallying around a star player, a la LeBron James, a la Kawhi Leonard, a la Steph Curry, a la, you know, James Harden, whoever else you want to throw out there, Russ.
And even the quarterback in the NFL.
Yep, yep. So without, when it's really a team win, which is what basketball is, a team game, and there's no real star, I mean, you can say that I would go out and say that these are the Jason Tatum playoffs and not the Brad Stevens playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, and Jaylen Brown's been arguably.
Yeah, he's been really good too.
It's like he strained his hamstring and that could have easily gone downhill, but he's fine now.
And the big thing is, I think, that Jaylen Brown wasn't even like an overly good player at Cal.
No.
He was just an athletic guy with basketball talent that didn't really put it together on a team for Kwanzo. And all of a sudden, he gets drafted. His rookie year goes okay. And then all of a sudden, he just blossoms.
And you know what I would hate as a GM making like any kind of trade with the Celtics now is that not only do you have in the back of your mind that Ainge is going to fleece me, but your players automatically have like 120% value of what they are currently because they're getting coached by Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
You know they're going to be good. You know they're going to be good, but they're just not valuable on your team.
Right. It's a tough little conundrum for everyone that isn't named Danny Ainge, but
yeah. I hate that Boston gets this again. I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's smart play. Shout out to Prokhorov for trading a million picks for the big three, essentially.
Speaking of that, you want to hear who those players turned into, the picks that Billy King traded from the Nets?
Yes.
All right, Alec Burks, fine. Damian Lillard.
Jesus.
Draymond Green.
Okay.
Jaylen Brown and Jason
Lovely.
Tatum.
That's a pretty good list.
That's a hell of a starting five.
Yeah. For what, 2 years of Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and that's it, right?
They got Joe Johnson too. And Darren Williams as well.
Okay.
The
Nets didn't even do anything with that.
No. They were like a 50-win team for one, maybe 2 years. And then then Prokhorov decided, you know, I don't like paying this luxury tax thing. Being a Russian oligarch, I don't think he likes getting taxed like that.
Yeah, he's not used to it here. Mm-mm. The other series, Golden State up 1-0 on Houston. Game 2 is tonight as we record. I think it's Golden State in 4. I don't think it's close. I think game 1, the Warriors showed just how good they can be when they want to be in the third quarter, and that's what they're going to do the rest of the series. It would take a perfect game from James Harden, which is essentially what he played in game 1, to win a single game.
Yeah, I initially was thinking the same way that you are, but the way that this team is built is so more Daryl Morey, being the stats nerd that he is, built this team with like to have the highest possible variance from game to game that they could possibly swing a couple games in their favor in a playoff series that I think they'll be able to pull out 2 games in this. So I think it's going to be able to go 6.
2 games?
I think 2 games.
Oh,
with
my God.
Having Gordon, having 2 all-time great guards playing for you and a 5 who can stay on the court with the Warriors starting 5 is really, really valuable. And if Mbamute isn't a worthless sack of shit again, I think they'll have a decent shot to keep over the Warriors. People are pointing at the fact that Steph only hit 1-3, but Durant absolutely went off.
Yeah.
And so it's tough because I don't know.
Well, the X factor in the series is Draymond. If he gets suspended for a game, then Houston's got a shot.
Yeah, he holds really controls the needle for this team. And
yeah.
There's a point where he goes where they get motivated and no one
it's
else on that
very
team.
Fine line.
Yeah. We're motivated and like exasperated with him.
Yeah.
And he needs to like dance on that line and make sure that he doesn't go over the line. And I think he basically did to start game 1, but he he reeled himself back, and there's
it
still
was early enough that it didn't cause any issues where he definitely crossed the line.
Yeah.
But he was able to settle back in on the other side before it really hurt his team.
Yeah.
And there was no real penalty for it.
And if that happens again later in game, I feel like it's kind of a demoralizing, it could be a demoralizing thing where the Rockets can
take that happens advantage. In the second quarter, the Rockets probably win that game.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's another X factor. And Kevin Looney, it's unfair that the Warriors get to develop their own talent. And this mm-hmm. is the difference between the LeBron-led teams
yep.
and the Warriors, is that they're developing young players instead of trading their first-round picks. And these guys are just coming up clutch in big moments. And we forget that Quinn Cook absolutely went off for a month and a half when Steph Curry was out at the end of the season, and is going to make a ton of money from that.
Yep.
And Kevin Looney guarded Chris Paul and James Harden 19 times in game one and came up with zero fouls.
That's pretty outrageous.
Damn impressive. So it's just unfair, and which is why, again, I'm giving the Rockets two games, but the Warriors are going to pull us out. I have no doubt in my mind.
Nah, I'm going straight sweep with the Warriors. It's over. Don't even bother playing. Celtics Warriors is the NBA final. We'll talk to you then.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so.
Then the Bucks have made a coaching move here. Who do we got?
Mike Budenholzer, Coach Bud.
Coach Bud.
That was rumored
you
to be the
think he would fit better in Denver. Thank you.
That was rumored to be the Raptors' first choice as well. So Masai Ujiri has to go to the drawing board again, but I think this is going to be a great fit for Milwaukee. They having a more structured offense and one that Coach Bud could center around an absolute superstar talent is going to be really valuable. And I think we'll bring. I think Giannis might average like 10 assists, well over 10 assists a game next year. So I expect good things for the Bucks this coming year.
Yeah, they were a major disappointment, I'll say.
Yeah,
I think absolutely. I definitely expected them to be a top four team in the East, and it just never really transpired that way. So hopefully, like you said, the structure in the offensive game, which I think is where they were lacking the most. It's not the most defensive-oriented team, but there's so much talent that they don't really need to worry about it that much.
Yeah, they're long and they can switch a lot, so
yeah.
I'm expecting Bud to take advantage of that.
They feel like one of those teams that can almost, like, it's the NBA. You're not going to play a zone, but they feel like one of those teams that could almost get away with it, like a matchup zone type situation, because of the fact that they've got so much length and can just get in passing lanes.
Yeah, and I expect a full summer, a full year away, like cleansed of Jason Kidd's influence on the organization to be incredibly beneficial for Giannis and the entire team.
For sure. Then we had the draft lottery yesterday, which is Tuesday for those listening. So 2 days ago for those listening, excuse me. And that was just a fucking joke. What a waste of time.
Dan Gilbert's son appeared again with a beard, which is really unsettling to me.
Yeah. So
good for him for being there, though. I'm not trying to make fun of
the Bulls trot out of Reinsdorf, which was the worst possible move ever. Dan Gilbert's son was back. Didn't get a number one pick this time. Josh Jackson was there. De'Aaron Fox. We had Elton Brand made an appearance. Former Bulls player, number one pick.
There we go.
It was just a very weird, weird situation. It was like 42 minutes of buildup for like 6 minutes of reading the actual teams and like 12 minutes of commercials spread in there. They essentially saw how bad the selection Sunday was and said, no, we can do it worse.
Yeah, it was very awkward, and I just kept going through the Twitter feed. And just
Cassidy Hubbard should not be hosting this. I like her, but I think they left her out to dry. She had way too much to do on her own. It should have been her and someone else.
Yeah, and the production was awful.
Yeah, it's truly atrocious.
I honestly expect better from the NBA. They're usually pretty like the best league when it comes to this kind of stuff, and I don't know what happened. And I feel like the message needs to be sent to the NBA that they need to send like good personalities to this show if it's going to be like this.
Jerry West was there too. They had an interview with him. He was all right, except he was like way too quiet to even hear.
And you know what? Why don't they just send all the mascots and just have the mascots?
That would be hilarious.
And just have them all talk shit to each other as like the drawings happening.
Yeah.
No one would love more to have Benny the Bull just like dump popcorn on a team that dropped like three slots.
Oh, yeah. So speaking of dropping, the Bulls dropped from 6 to 7. The Kings jumped to number 2.
With this, the combination the Bulls would have had if they lost the coin flip.
Yep, so the Bulls won the coin flip. The Kings got the 7th spot. The Bulls got the 6th spot. Hey, a couple extra 4-number combinations for the big drawing. Didn't matter. Actually ended up screwing the Bulls. Next thing you know, they're the 7th pick. The Kings are the 2nd. Hawks got the 3rd pick. And Phoenix, for the first time in their franchise history, has the number 1 pick. They also have another first-round draft pick this year, I believe. So there is some interesting stuff going on. I think DeAndre Ayton is probably the best player in this draft, but the Suns hired Luka Doncic's international coach, and they need a point guard more than they need a center, I think.
All right, you know what? If the Suns play this right, I think they can coax a couple picks out of the Kings, because I think the Kings are desperate to get Doncic.
It's crazy to look at a guy like DeAndre Ayton and think two teams are desperate to get a guy that isn't him.
Mm-hmm.
He is the most NBA-ready player we've had since, I can't even name somebody. Probably Karl Anthony Towns.
Uh-huh.
And that's saying something. As a big, he is like the first guy they've had since then. He is a more polished Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I think he's Dwight Howard with a smooth, like, natural offensive game.
Yeah.
This is the only team, the Kings are the only team I could see being, like, bamboozled into, like, thinking that the Suns really, really want to take Doncic and just give them next year's first rounder to be able to grab this guy.
This screams of a Ryan Pace trading up from 3 to 2 to get Mitch Trubisky.
Yep. Yep.
This is exactly what it feels like.
And so, I'm sorry for Kings fans, but I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, imagine if they traded like one of their young players to you.
they traded young Buddy point guard. With it.
Yeah. But that's the lotto. Clippers have 12 and 13. I think the Bulls should trade down and get 12 and 13 and use 3 first-round picks this year, because I think the draft is deep enough, and I don't think there's anyone that's significantly better at 7 that you wouldn't want two different players at 12 and 13.
You don't think an option of Wendell Carter or Michael Porter Jr. or Mo Bamba being available at 7 would be better than what would be available at 12 or 13?
I think one of them might drop that far.
So, I mean, I think one of those three is worth staying up at the 7 slot. Just because
I can't talk myself into Bamba. Wendell Carter is good, but what's his ceiling? He's not like an all-star. He's not going to be a year-in, year-out all-star. He's going to be like a solid starter. That, I think, is his ceiling.
Yeah, and the same thing with Mikal Bridges. Is that how it's pronounced, Mikal?
Yeah.
He's a prototypical, like,
wing,
just
yeah.
fifth starter who can just hit threes, play defense, be perfect on a contending team. But and he's also 22 years old, so he's one of the oldest, going to be one of the oldest rookies in this class. So I feel like he doesn't fit either with our development timeline.
Perfectly with our development timeline.
But I could talk myself into Bamba. I think you see how useful guys like Rudy Gobert and Clint Capella are, and there's still a place for guys who are lengthy and are mobile outside of the paint.
He's a rim protector for sure, but his offensive game needs a lot of work.
Yeah, and I mean, if he can roll to the basket and catch lobs, I'd be fine with it.
Makes sense. I think I'm hoping there's a team desperate enough that they want to throw a great package at the Bulls to take number 7, but I feel like they're going to try and package 7 and 22 to go up to like number 5 and take Michael Porter or something stupid.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past
car packs. So we'll see. Expect the worst.
Yeah. So Jalen Brunson, welcome to the Chicago Bulls.
Grayson Allen.
And Grayson Allen. And
Grayson Allen, 22 pick. We don't have a second rounder this year.
Yeah. So that's what it is. But be on the lookout for the Jalen Brunson I'm coming home video when he gets drafted.
That makes me angry already. Sorry.
But yeah, that's the NBA. Moving on to the MLB, Robinson Cano suspended PED use. He had a diuretic in his system, I believe, and couldn't prove what it was for. So it's automatically assumed that it is to mask PEDs or steroids or whatever from coming up in your piss test. And he is gone for 80 games.
Okay, so the reaction... I've always been confused by the reaction from baseball fans and NFL fans versus when players use PEDs.
Yep.
Because it's pretty casual for the NFL to be caught using these. And using them is so much more beneficial and gives you such a competitive advantage, more so in football than baseball. But we treat it as like a mortal sin in baseball rather than football. And I don't know why that is. It's just because baseball decided to crucify the people.
Well, baseball both I think had like an overt problem with steroids. It's just baseball decided to be the one to really go after it. So
yeah, they wanted to have the moral high ground here.
As opposed to four.
Yeah.
So you're looking at half the season as opposed to a fourth of the season.
And do you think like the outlook changes on NFL players using if they upped the penalties?
No, I think because in baseball, look at Melky Cabrera. He got suspended, and then the White Sox gave him like a $56 million deal over 3 years. There are guys out there that are going to use steroids and then get signed to big deals right after. So even if you get caught,
it's still worth it.
It doesn't hurt you really.
Yeah.
As long as you were playing well beforehand or decent.
Yeah. And as long as that happens, as long as those guys get those deals afterwards and there's no repercussions long term, I mean, there's still going to be the issue. And the fact that the technology to cover it up is more often than not going to be ahead of the testing technology, it's just going to be a continuous cycle.
Yeah, so I don't think it's really – I think it's just the history and then how the leagues decided to go about it, but I don't think there's any difference in how players are looked at or perceived. It's just one of those things where baseball decided they were going to suspend you for half the year and football decided it's only a quarter of the year.
Yeah, I mean, which is a shame. And it still pisses me off that guys like Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds aren't in the Hall of Fame.
That is a definitely a discussion for another time. But yeah, it's interesting to see how they get blackballed like that. But that's also the baseball writers are fucking assholes.
That's true. I can't argue with that.
We'll move on. Our top five with the announcement of the 10-part, 10-hour Michael Jordan Netflix ESPN documentary coming out next year. We decided top five sports documentaries that we would like to see made. So, Pete, I will let you go first. What are your five?
All right. So I got number five. Basically just a – all right, it would be called The Front in parentheses Office, based off The Office. The White Sox front office when Kenny was running the show and making trades for Manny Ramirez and Ken Griffey Jr.
I like it.
Just the night Boozer polished his hair and just have commentary from everyone who, and he played the Celtics too, as he explained part of my take recently, which is gold. Yep. Three, the journey to Sammy Sosa becoming Caucasian.
That's a good one. I'm trying to think of a good title. Night and Day.
I can see it.
I'll think of something better.
Number two here, Bulls Celtics. I think in 08 or 09 playoff series, they went to seven. Yeah. Multiple overtimes. I would love to watch that again. And this isn't number one. This isn't a specific thing that happened, but I want one 30 for 30 to be completely sports science themed.
No.
Every clip that they show, I want John Brinkus to pop in and give us the sports science of everything that's happening.
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be the documentary about John Brinkus creating sports science.
And I hope everyone just talks shit behind his back.
That's how it should go, because sports science is such a fallacy. Yeah. I have one honorable mention, and that's just a Devin Hester documentary. It could just be them playing on loop all his kick returns for a touchdown. I don't care, but something about Devin Hester would be awesome.
That would be sick.
Number five is a personal one. I'm going to do the 2016 Seton Hall basketball team, because they're the first to win a Big East tournament in 23 years. So they made one about going to the national title in 89. So I don't see why they wouldn't make another one about 2016.
Homer.
Number four is, after the fallout and everything's revealed, the college basketball FBI investigation, like all the shit they went through, how it happened, what's going on, what happened because of it. Number three is a Kane or Kane and Taze documentary, just about the revival of the Blackhawks.
That would be incredible.
Number two is a David Stern documentary, When He Passes. So just about his life, and then him as the NBA commissioner, and then him fostering Adam Silver as a puppet during the years that he was so-called retired.
Or even Tim Donaghy's exploits as betting on fixing games. Betting in games.
And then number one is the rise and fall of Derrick Rose.
Yeah, obviously. That was the most, that was the big one.
And it's literally him just trying to get up and falling the entire time. 2 hours of it. Right. PJ's there yelling at Gar Pax over the phone, saying he wants to walk at his kid's graduation, and that's the rest of it.
I would pay so much money.
Excuse me, PJ's his kid.
Yeah, I'd love to have PJ talk too. At that point,
that would be funny.
He'd be like 15.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could pay me to listen to Gar Pax talk. That man has zero charisma.
So those are our five. Let us know if you've got any others at LMBF Sports, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We'll move on to our stats. I have a ton. If you want me to go first, I can. Otherwise, you can take it from here.
All right. I got two quick ones. I'll go really quick.
Okay.
Since 1984, every champion in the NBA has had a player who has been Shaq's teammate at one point. Of all the teams in it still in it this year, only the Cavs still have players that have been his teammates. LeBron, Perk, and Jeff Green.
He was on the Cavs, people forget.
Yep.
Shaqalier.
And then you will love this. Jaylen Brown now has more playoff series wins with 4 than Carmelo Anthony for his career with 3.
Stunning. But not really, because Melo sucks. He's a cancer. His teams never go anywhere outside of the United States.
All right, go ahead.
Chris Bryant. I don't know if I said this one already, but Chris Bryant hit his first career home run on May 9th, 2015, and he hit his 100th on May 9th, 2018.
That guy's life is just so put together. Everything just comes. It just looks so good on paper.
Mm-hmm. Joel Embiid went 0 of 8 on game-tying or go-ahead shots in the final minutes this season, including 0 of 2 in game 5. He is tied for the most field goal attempts without a make in those circumstances in NBA history.
Who's the other one, Kobe?
They did not mention. Padres' Tony Gwynn faced Greg Maddux a total of 107 times, more than any other pitcher during his career, and he batted .415 and never struck out.
I knew that was coming. I've seen
Tony Gwynn's stats are insane.
Tony Gwynn's stats are the best stats.
Tony Gwynn had plate appearances against 16 different Hall of Fame pitchers. He had 160 hits and 480 at-bats, which is .333, and struck out just 23 times.
I've heard these all before, and they still blow my mind.
Yep. Career points scored in conference finals. I don't know if this is actually true. I know the Chris Paul one, or that Chris Paul has actually scored, but Anthony Davis 0, Giannis 0, DeMarcus Cousins 0, Joel Embiid 0, Damian Lillard 0, John Wall 0, Jimmy Butler 0, Cat 0. Abdel Nader has 2 points. And then I believe this is my last stat. The Cubs and the Braves played on Tuesday. Ben Zobrist and Ozzie Albies were the leadoff hitters, and that was a 15-year difference between the two. Zobrist is 36, Albies is 21.
Good Lord. Yep. On my fantasy team, too. No one asked, but he's raking.
I don't appreciate that. Mm-hmm. We'll move on to tweets. I've got a quick pair here. One of them courtesy of Sam Norland. He filled in for me. If you don't remember, you can check it out. Bartolo Colon is older than six of the 30 current MLB managers, and he has struck out six of the 30 current MLB managers.
He might be one of the greatest athletes of our time.
I think he is, and that probably should be a documentary. Bartolo Colon.
Yeah, exactly. Himself. Add it to the list.
The other one I have is Josh Hart tweeted that the 2016 Villanova National Championship team would kick the 2018 champion's ass, and Jalen Brunson quote tweeted and said, LOL. Brunson was on both teams, fun fact. And fun fact, the 2018 team has a Big East title. The 2016 team doesn't. Shout out Seton Hall.
That was the only reason why you put that stat on there.
Yep.
All right. I have two as well. This is from Peter Gammons' book, but someone tweeted it out, this excerpt specifically. Tom Brady once asked Alex Rodriguez to help set up a meeting with Ichiro to study his stretching system. Upon learning of this, Ichiro said, "Who the fuck is Tom Brady?"
Oh, good God.
I really respect that. And I'm kind of, speaking of Ichiro, I'm kind of disappointed he just kind of went away quietly. He had such a good career, and he just went away to be a special assistant now with no goodbye.
I think he's playing again next year, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I would welcome that. And then the second one, this is short, sweet, and to the point. Moments after JR shoved Al Horford in the back, Al Horford's wife tweeted, "Fuck you, JR," in all caps.
Ride or die, chick. That's what we need. Let's go, it. NBA. Love in 2018.
And you know what? Anyone to get the attention away from Ayesha Curry, because I'm tired of it.
Yep. Get her out of here. That is, I like that tweet. I liked her. Hell of a move. As always, we'll wrap up the show with what we're looking forward to this weekend. Pete, what do you got on the docket?
Preakness is this weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
So some more gambling to do, Brian. Mm-hmm.
Lose a lot of money this weekend.
You got any recommendations?
Nope. Don't listen to me. Whatever I pick, bet the opposite.
Okay. What do you got?
Justify will win. That's what I'll say.
All right. Put all your money on Justify and do not blame us if you lose.
Yep, that is correct. I also am looking forward to the Preakness. More specifically, though, the race in the infield, I don't know where it is, but they have a line of porta potties that's like 40 yards long, something ridiculous. And throughout the day, people will climb up to the top and run across. And then as they're running, people just whip beers at them. So I'm looking forward to those videos coming out.
I forgot that happens.
It's the greatest time of the year.
I really want that. I really want to do that myself.
I know Emilco is a beautiful place.
I know I'm going to fall through the roof of one of those
That's what I'm afraid of. How are you not terrified that you're just going to take one step and go right through the top of a porta potty and like either step on someone or land in shit?
Yeah, one of those beefy boys is going to end up going through a porta potty into it.
Yeah, but you see people get absolutely rocked by like a beer can just right in the chin or something and then just stumble over and they're like, "Oh, he's still alive."
We should be able to bet on that.
That's a great idea. But that's what we're looking forward to. As always, you can check us out, letmebefrankblog.com, at LMBF Sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can leave a review on iTunes, Let Me Be Frank Podcast. Pete, any final words?
Refinance the mortgage, folks. Gambling is legal.
Damn right. We will see you next week.
If you knew back when I was younger, the world at my feet was what mattered. Oh, how I thought everything, it was beautiful, and I loved it much like a mother. If humility is the thing I've been needing, well, I've got enough to last. Maybe it's time that I try something dangerous, only if you have my back. During the highest tide, while the water is rising, will you still keep me in your sight?